Today on Compassion Radio.
Where do you find the teaching of Jesus? She's like, in the Bible. I said, but there is no true Bible. She's like, no, the Bible is true. I said, no, it has been changed. She spoke a little bit of Arabic, and we have an expression that is like, oh, don't say this blasphemy, like, astaghfirullah. And I said, what do you mean, astaghfirullah? It is changed. Give me a Bible, and I will prove it to you. Yeah. So I took a Bible from her.
And now you get to join the ranks of millions throughout history who have been challenged by the Holy Spirit when you were trying to fight against him.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Watef is a former Muslim living in Tunisia. Today, she shares her powerful testimony with Bram of how God provided for her and directed her every step after she was disowned and thrown out on the street by her father simply for accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. This eye-opening conversation offers a dramatic look at the social impact on a Muslim, especially a woman, when they turn from Islam and embrace Jesus. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
And sitting across the table from me this morning is Watef. And you, dear, are a pastor, a teacher, a follower of Christ, but you also are what we would consider one of the most important stories of North Africa. You're a Muslim background believer.
Yes.
And it took somebody crossing the divide to reach you where you were, to challenge the way you thought, and not just about ideas, but about the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to hear a bit about that story today. First of all, let's have a discussion today about how you came to know Jesus.
So, yes, people call me MBB, and sometimes it bothers me, and sometimes I'm like, no, that's who I am, mm-hmm. a Muslim background believer. And it's a joy to know that, yeah, Muslim can choose Christ. So back in 1999, it was a time where I gave up on Islam. Mm. I gave up that.
And why did you give up at the time?
Well, I thought that if you pray, prayer will prevent you from doing evil. Mm. So I did the 40 days of prayer, thinking that after 40 days, I will feel the presence of God, and I will feel the closeness to Him.
And this is a discipline that was in your particular sect of Islam that said if you pursue God for 40 days, if you pursued God for 40 days, you would encounter Him.
Yes, if you do the prayer like faithfully 40 days, then you could feel the presence of God. And women could never do that, because if you have your time of the month, you can't pray.
So basically, this is basically saying that women can't have that privilege.
No. Well, for me, it's an exception. I have a tumor in my head, so I get to stay for 40 days clean. And I did the 40 days, and I did not feel anything. Mm. I stayed the same hypocrite person. I stayed the mean teenager who gossiped about everybody, who lied to her parents. So I kind of gave up on Islam, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to pray anymore, or whatever. I'm just Muslim by name.
Now, we would say that many teenagers go through that kind of change of thought, and everything in the life is challenged, and often it happens during the university years. That's when we really start thinking for ourselves, not always very well, but in your case, God was using these circumstances and your pursuit of Him to steer you in a whole new direction.
Yes, it was right before I started going to university, in the last 2 years of high school, I wrote a dissertation on how Islam could prevent you from doing evil, and I was convicted that I should just pray, and I gave up. So basically, they came the year I was starting university, a couple from Canada, in 1999, moved to my neighborhood.
And where was your neighborhood?
My neighborhood was where my grand-grandfather lived. My grandfather was born there, my dad was born there, and I was born there, and it's close to the capital. So it's right next to the capital. It takes us 20 minutes to get to the capital of Tunis.
And Tunis itself is the largest city still in Tunisia.
Yes.
And was the center of the Arab Spring for this country.
It It is.
Just a few years ago.
It is.
So you were having your Arab Spring a few years
earlier. We kicked out a dictator.
Yes, you did.
7 years ago.
And as I understand it, you did it more peacefully than any other nation in all of the Arab world.
We love life. Tunisians love life. Get tired of like coups and so if they tell us we can't leave after five, we hate it. We climb the walls and go to the neighbors and have a fun time.
So you're partying people.
Yeah.
Okay, what if you had your own Arab Spring back in 1999 because of a visit from a Canadian couple?
Yes.
And this revolution happened in you, how?
So the first thing is when I met this couple, I met the wife first one day and I said to her, oh, you can come to our house. I really didn't mean to invite her. And she came. And then she said, I'll bring my husband tomorrow. We said, yeah, I'll bring your husband and come tomorrow at 4. But again, we didn't mean to invite them. It was like just a talk, saving face. She showed up at 4 the next day with her husband. And for me, it was like shaking my world, even in the daily basis, things where they said the truth. The dad said sorry to the children. My dad
say
never
that more time.
The dad said sorry to the children.
Said sorry to the children. In other words, he apologized when he did wrong.
Yeah, my dad never apologized. It's like, for me, but you're the dad. But I'm wrong.
And okay, what did the dad mean to you when you were growing up?
My dad doesn't apologize. He's always right.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by going to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445 to find out more about the exciting projects this ministry is taking part in. That's the word compassion to 53445.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. We are so excited to tell you about our Compassion Radio Bibles Project. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. Let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
In the midst of I couldn't see. Fear blinded me. And you took on flesh and came to me. Gave up your life to rescue me. You are the Holy God of love. Though I was far away, you reached into my heart. You run to me.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So the first thing is, when I met this couple, I met the wife first one day, and I said to her, oh, you can come to our house. I really didn't mean to invite her. And she came. And then she said, I'll bring my husband tomorrow. We said, yeah, bring your husband and come tomorrow at 4. But again, we didn't mean to invite them. It was like just a talk, saving okay. face. She showed up at 4 the next day with her husband. And for me, it was like shaking my world, even in the daily basis, things where they said the truth. The dad said sorry to the children. My dad
say
never...
Say more time.
The dad said sorry to the children.
Said sorry to the children. In other words, he apologized when he did wrong? Or...
Yeah. My dad never apologized. It's like, for me, but you're the dad. Yeah, but I'm wrong.
And okay, what did the dad mean to you when you were growing up?
My dad doesn't apologize. He's always right. He's always right.
Is that the view you had of God because of that?
I don't think we thought of God as Father. It never occurs to us that God could be Father.
Okay.
I mean, this couple, this Canadian couple, I later found out they were missionaries. I did not know in the beginning. They lived very simply. They had mattresses on the floor, and they didn't have a TV. And even when I proposed that they get help to buy things by installment, they would say no. If God didn't provide it, we don't need it. Where in my family, we always struggled because we always had debt.
Yes.
That was always the next thing to buy by installment.
That's not just a Tunisian problem either. It's
really?
Worldwide.
Well, it made us suffer when we were young. Mm. Because we always had things to build. We always had a new TV, new this. But it's like it made us struggle. We're always fighting.
Mm.
So seeing this family really made me be like, I want to be like them. They were happy. They had joy.
Yes.
I mean, today I can call the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They were joyful. I wanted to have that joy. I wanted to be like them. In the same time, I was like, these people do the good deeds. They don't lie. And these people are going to hell? Mm. That's not fair. So
and
I
according to your theology, that would be the way things work.
According to the Muslim theology, you do the good deeds, you say the Muslim creed,
right,
and you go to heaven.
Yeah. And there are no good deeds outside of those.
No.
Those things are the only things that count to God, according to Muslim theology.
You do good, you give to the poor, and it's as much, it's like a balance, how much you've done good. And if you do bad, you have to do more good deeds to cover the bad deeds.
Yep.
So I was like, these people are ready. They just need to say the Muslim creed.
Yeah.
So I went up to them and I was saying to them, why don't you say the Muslim creed, the Shahada, and you will go to heaven? And the wife said to me, what do you mean? I said, you guys are so nice.
Yeah.
It's not fair, you go to hell. I am not sure that I'm going to go to heaven because I don't have the good deeds like you. And I am a Muslim. She said, but we do these good things, not because of us, but because of Jesus. And I'm like, where do you find the teaching of Jesus? She's like, in the Bible. I said, but there is no true Bible. She's like, no, the Bible is true. I said, no, it has been changed. She's like, She spoke a little bit of Arabic, and we have an expression that is like, oh, don't say this blasphemy, like, astaghfirullah. And I said, what do you mean, astaghfirullah? It is change. Give me a Bible, and I will prove it to you.
Yeah.
So I took a Bible from her.
And now you get to join the ranks of millions throughout history who have been challenged by the Holy Spirit when you were trying to fight against him.
The thing is, you know, I didn't know what I'm getting myself
mm-hmm.
into. I got a Bible from her. I still remember it was a green book, and it was Arabic English. And I took it in my mind. I've never seen a Bible before.
Yes.
And in my mind, the Bible is the word of God that came down on the Christian.
Mm.
And the Quran is the word of God that came down on Muslims. And basically, the Bible and the Quran should be one book. So I'm expecting to open the book. The Quran starts with the Baqarah. It's a surah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible will start with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it started with Genesis.
Yes, it is.
And it's a different book and a different style of writing.
Mm.
And it's easy to understand, easy to read.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's easy or the Holy Spirit made it easy.
Maybe a bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah, bit of both, I agree. And, you know, the Bible talks about my word does not come to me empty.
Mm.
So reading the word of God did something inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on that day, did I understand who's Jesus? Did I understand he's the Messiah?
Mm.
Did I understand he died for me and on the third day he rose again? And all I needed to do is give him my heart and receive him as Lord and Savior and have him change my life? No, I didn't understand. I just said, I want to be Christian. I have a green book. I'm a Christian now.
Mm.
And
if you have the book, you're a Christian now.
I'm Christian. And
what you mean is you have the guidebook. You're going to follow now.
Yeah. And God did a great work in me, and he's still doing that work. He's still changing me. He's still molding me. It's like letting him drive, letting him be in control and growing through the whole. I'm thankful that I met that family because they just loved me. They just encouraged me. Even when things went wrong and I told my father about my faith.
Yes.
And he could not handle it and
yes.
he threw me out.
Let's stop there for a second.
Yes.
I want to, because this comes to the core of what Christians in the West expect of Muslims, that they would be rejected and hated, and that it often does in fact happen. But I want to reassure our listeners that by the time we're done with the story, what Awadif has to say is going to be very different about how relationships are resurrected, how,
yes,
and salvaged and made new again.
Yes.
And the story of Lazarus keeps coming into the discussion here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So go on from there. When you decided to be honest and open with your family and you told your father, the man who had never apologized to you, had been the authority and always was right, you were thrown out of your house?
I lived at my parents' house from the time I was a believer, became a believer, until after I got baptized. So for 4 years I was living there, and my father noticed...
So he did tolerate you for a while.
Well, the thing is, he knew I became a Christian because he noticed the change, but he never wanted to talk about it. Because if he talks about it, he has to do something about it. There is pressure from the family, from the society, that he's the father, that he's the head of the house. He needs to keep his children in order. And my dad is, yes, these things he doesn't do because men don't apologize, because it's manly. But at one point when my mom was sick one time, I remember he's the one that brushes our hair and gets us ready for school and walk us to school and jokes with us. He never ever put a finger in me except once because I betrayed my brother one time. So at that point, I'm 25 years old and my dad never even slapped me on the face.
Yeah.
And he gave me one lash. Because I betrayed my brother, I had a fight with my brother and took side with the friend.
I see.
So my dad is not aggressive. He's a man who is expected by the society to be a certain way.
Important point. Now, I know there are many who have been called out to follow Jesus from a violent background. And those are important stories to tell, too. In your case, your father was not violent, and he was not abusive in that regard. He was just trapped.
Yeah. He's expected to do something and bring me back to the right path.
Okay, so during those years, you're keeping things quiet, or he thinks it's manageable.
Well, he finds my books, he takes them away, he burns them, he doesn't bring it up. I go to church, I don't tell him.
So
I go
a little bit of a spiritual aggression in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's taking your books away, you keep getting more. What finally brought it to a head? What drove you?
I was at a wedding of two of my friends who were Christian, and they're... The father didn't know. And I was like, I want my dad to be the one to bring me into the church. I want him to be part of that special day. I want him to celebrate that reunion in the church. I decided I'm going to go talk to my dad. And my pastor at the time, he said, Awatif, there's a man who told Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me first bury my father. And Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead. And basically, postpone it. It's about postponing.
Right.
So I can't keep postponing. And I need to put Jesus first in my life. And then everything will be on the right order. So I decided I want my dad also to know. I want my dad to know about Jesus. So I shared with him.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800 800- 866-248-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.